Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at Kerry's secret diplomacy over Iran. John Kerry admitted to carrying out what some are euphemistically calling shadow diplomacy and trying to save the Obama-era nuclear deal with Iran, which Trump and Pompeo described as potentially illegal and unprecedentedly undermining the foreign policy of the present administration. The former Secretary of State has a personal stake in the survival of this agreement because it defines his legacy of service under the Obama administration, but as a Democrat, he also has political reasons for trying to thwart Trump's plans. Even so, and regardless of intent, the case can be made that Kerry is in violation of the 1799 Logan Act prohibiting civilians from conducting diplomacy contrary to the government's position on any issue. There are, of course, very serious domestic political implications over Kerry's shadow diplomacy, especially in relation to the deep state's incessant efforts to obstruct the implementation of Trump's policies just for the sake of it. But it also speaks to the wariness that some have of the overall strategic consequences of the nuclear deal's failure. The forthcoming reimposition of energy-related sanctions against Iran in November is expected to hit its economy very hard, potentially catalyzing even more wide-scale unrest than what's already on display in the country and possibly leading to more security challenges for its government. Iran is one of the linchpins of contemporary Mideast affairs, with Trump assessing its regional role very negatively, while Kerry is apparently a bit more pragmatic. These contrasting perceptions are also partially responsible for the deep state divide in the State Department, as many Obama-era supporters share Kerry's views, while some of them, and especially Trump's appointees and those ideologically loyal to him, stand with the current president. The first-mentioned faction isn't as eager to see Iran destabilized as the latter one is, hence why it's behind Kerry's unprecedented shadow diplomacy, while the second group is regarded as hawks and is eagerly awaiting the hybrid war consequences that Trump's aggressive policies might have for Iran. So, folks, I think we're all a little bit curious about what John Kerry is up to in Iran, because it does seem a little bit bizarre that a former Secretary of State is now cavorting with, we can actually say this, Trump's enemy. So we're going to speak to two guests today to give us further insight into what might be going on and why. So the first one that we're going to speak to today is Mr. Niall Bradley. He is an editor and analyst for the independent news site SOTT.net.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Niall, what exactly does Kerry's shadow diplomacy with Iran aim to achieve in tangible terms, and how successful do you think he'll be?
Well, Andrew, I can't tell you exactly, I'm afraid, because I'm not John Kerry, but I can take a guess. So Kerry, of course, has a history with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif, developed in the course of negotiating the JCPOA, the Iran deal. I imagine Kerry is telling Zarif something like this: hang in there. Trump isn't forever. Even when Trump's hardline policy kicks in, don't do anything rash. We can still salvage this. Now, I don't think Iran would do anything rash, like, as some people are suggesting, blockade oil and gas transit through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran, much like Russia, actually, it largely just needs to ride out the U.S.'s unilateral sanctions while continuing to build capacity in all areas, military, infrastructure, trade, diplomatic relations, etc. So if we go with this and assume that Kerry is holding out to Iran the promise of a return to the pre-Trump status quo, and thus the normalization of U.S.-Iranian relations, we immediately see that its success is highly contingent on U.S. domestic political developments. And that front is so chaotic right now, there's no telling which Iran policy would succeed in the long term. At root, I think the U.S. establishment is so schizophrenic on Iran because it has learned the hard way over the course of this war is in Afghanistan and Iraq, that Iranian cultural and political influence in the region is a fact of life, you know, an immovable object. The dispute in Washington over what to do about that fact is whether cooperation on the one hand with Iran or undermining it up to and including regime change or war even is the least risky way to contain or manage said Iranian influence.
Okay, well, one of the things that you touched upon is how the success of John Kerry's initiatives are largely dependent on domestic development in the United States. And if we keep this in mind, though, if we look at also the international perspective of what he's even doing, it's pretty unprecedented that you have a former diplomat, I mean, the United States' former top diplomat, trying to undermine the policy of the sitting U.S. president. So what kind of consequences could this have internally for the U.S. amidst its ever-intensifying deep state war against Trump?
Right, right. As I hinted at before, Kerry is probably going rogue because his faction is emboldened by the prospect of victory in this quote-unquote war against Trump. But the problem is this brazen undercutting of Trump then feeds back into the already highly polemic atmosphere in the United States, where pro-Israeli, anti-Iranian views, especially on the Christian right, so Trump's support base, are then further antagonized, which further polarizes the U.S. domestic front as a whole. The thing is, U.S. politics now revolves so much around the question of who loves Israel more, the Republicans or the Democrats. I mean, on the face of it, I can only see this undermining the Democrats' goal of retaking Congress in this November's midterm elections, which, of course, undermines their fervent wish to check Trump. Here we're approaching what I suspect may have been Trump's original strategy when he set out to challenge said deep state: unequivocal support for whatever Israel and its powerful lobby network wants in return for breathing space to effectively some fundamental changes in U.S. domestic policy and its geopolitical outlook.
Okay, thank you very much for explaining all that. Now, if we keep in mind that we do have this one rogue diplomat in the United States trying to do what he's doing in a bid to retain the nuclear deal against the wishes of his country's sitting leader, how likely do you think it is that maybe he has an Iranian counterpart somewhere trying to do the opposite, in this case, mitigate the effect of Trump's sanctions and possibly probe the prospects for a deal between the two countries despite Tehran's formal opposition to such talks?
It's possible, certainly. I would imagine, though, that no significant Iranian faction would push this line of inquiry too far, because they might signal to Trump that, yes, we are amenable to tearing up the JCPOA. Remember, this standoff hinges on Trump's bet that Iran will back down and agree to some new deal, but specifically one that's more favorable to U.S. Investment opportunities in Iran, and also more stringent in checking around military development. So I think that Trump is emboldened in taking this hardline stance with Iran because of his apparent success when playing this game of chicken with North Korea. You remember how that went, right? It went from imminent nuclear Armageddon to unprecedented peace in the blink of an eye, like pretty much overnight. How this standoff develops then probably hinges on the question of how close the Iranians are to achieving nuclear weapons. And more importantly, I believe, because I suspect the Iranians already have a bomb or two, at what stage is their delivery system, their ballistic missile capability? So in light of how we saw that about turn after North Korea announced completion of its ballistic missile program, here I think the race is on to check Iran before it reaches some kind of equivalent threshold of military deterrence, which in this case might be defined by its ability to successfully repel a combined U.S.-Israeli attack. Thereafter, with its core security needs met, then we may see Iran apparently succumb to Trump's RT deal-making.
Now, this was a very informative conversation that shed more light on Kerry's secretive diplomatic activities with Iran and their cyclical effect on driving the U.S.'s deep state war. I also especially liked how you contrasted the U.S.'s present relations with Iran to those with North Korea. That really gave us a lot to think about, so thanks again. Now we're going to switch over and hear what Mr. Puya Sharif has to say. He's an Iranian student activist from Germany and a regular on my programs.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Puya, Kerry's shadow diplomacy with Iran has reignited accusations that the Obama administration was overly friendly with the Islamic Republic, thereby adding ammunition to Trump's claims that the deal was a lopsided sellout for inexplicable reasons. So, Puya, what's your take on this perspective?
Well, I do not agree with Mr. Trump, actually. I don't think that that was a kind of like lopsided sellout, because, well, the JCPOA, actually, it had this function for U.S. that actually weakened the, or kind of terminated, as the principal is also saying inside the country, weakened the Iranian nuclear power. And although Iranian nuclear power has this potential to restore again, but it's very difficult situation for them. So actually, that was the big win for U.S. in the JCPOA. We shouldn't forget that, as Mr. Rouhani also said about the JCPOA, it was like he claimed that it was a victory for Iran as well, but also it was a win-win deal or plan for all partners there. And then, yes, he said clearly that we crashed the judicial structure of the sanctions, so the sanctions could not be back. So that was the win from the Iranian side. But the thing is that during the JCPOA, actually, or let's say after that, the U.S. banking system, or let's say the World Banking System network, kind of they filtrated any connection from the European partners with the Iranian one. And they punished, for example, in two cases, one Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank also because of trading. I don't know, it wasn't even a high amount of money, but like just some thousands, 100,000 euros. So in fact, the U.S. banks actually regulated the atmosphere after JCPOA. So in fact, the JCPOA was working perfect for U.S. So and Mr. Trump just kind of like went out of that. But we shouldn't forget whether Trump or the Obama administration, main goals of the U.S. is like, this is the main, let's say, equation or formula in this case. The main goals of the U.S., the long term, is like to de-weaponize Iran, and whether nuclear and, I mean, first nuclear and, of course, then the intercontinental ballistic program, and to push Iran away from Syria, Iraq, Yemen, or let's say to reduce the like so-called the regional influence of Iran. After that, it comes the regime change, the changing the behavior of the Islamic Republic, let's say. So in fact, Trump administration and Obama administration, they have like similar objectives, like because it's the interest of U.S. But what we see is that like difference in the approaches. And one thing is that the Trump approach, let's say, to JCPOA could be the case that jeopardized the interest of United States.
I see. Okay, well, one of the things that people are saying about Kerry is that he's trying to advise the Iranian leadership on sanctions evading strategies. So if he's unsuccessful in doing this, which we don't really know for sure if that's what he's up to, but this is according to some media reports that I've come across, how impactful will the reimposition of the U.S.'s energy-related sanctions be on the Islamic Republic when they kick in this November? Because it sounds like from your last answer, it sounds like Trump and the previous Obama administration are pursuing similar objectives, but through very different means. So, I mean, if we see what Trump's trying to do with sanctions warfare and so-called lawfare, if Kerry isn't speculatively successful in helping Iran evade these sanctions, what will be the effect in the Islamic Republic?
Well, first of all, now the situation is something like, I mean, that's from my perspective, my own perspective. So actually, first we have to, due to the first answer, actually, to the first question, we have to understand, realize which dangers could Trump's strategy bring for U.S., yeah? And the danger would be that now, actually, U.S. is losing that international face. First of all, that's the credit, let's say. But the bigger danger would be that Iran restored the nuclear program. It would be at the beginning under supervision of the agency, of course. But thing is that there is a potential like within 2 or 3 years to restore the whole what we lost, let's say, yeah, what the Iranian side lost during the JCPOA in the case of nuclear power. So, in fact, Kerry has connection, of course, with the deep state in U.S., but maybe he has this mission, let's say, to kind of control Iranian to avoid them to pursue again, to restore again the nuclear program. So that's actually, that's my first feeling about the connection between Kerry and, let's say, the new government. I mean, the President Rouhani government, the new government since last year, actually. And we know that actually Kerry was quite successful, actually, in this case, establishing a very good relation, friendly relation with Mr. Javad Zarif. And he mentioned also in his book recently published
We could almost say it's like a good cop, bad cop dynamic then, where Kerry is the good cop and Trump is the bad cop. Okay, Puya, well, we only have about a minute left, so I want to ask you a final question. It's a bit provocative here, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to elaborate too much on it, but here's the question. Just like some Americans tacitly rooted for the moderate Rouhani against the conservative IRGC forces in Iran, can it be said that some Iranians are now rooting for the moderate Obama-linked deep state faction headed by Kerry right now over Trump's conservative one?
Well, this JCPOA actually turned into that situation because now it has sparked a like, huge discussion in Iran and then also in the U.S., especially after Trump came to the power and decided for that. Well, that's naturally happening. I mean, actually, Rouhani is trying to make him kind of get closer to the Democrats, let's say. Or yes, or you know that, for example, that the deep state actually kind of influenced by the Democrats as well. So actually, they have like common fields, yeah. But what is also interesting is that, well, naturally, the IRGs or the conservatives and let's say the Trump spectrum, that political spectrum, they are also getting kind of closer. Like, they have also common feelings because now the conservatives want to beat, actually, the Rouhani government also. They put a huge pressure, actually, since last year, especially since Trump went out of the JCPOA. So that's naturally happening. I'm not saying necessarily that there is a connection between them, but no. That's a natural reaction.
Puya, as always, thank you for sharing your insight with us into this very interesting topic. It helped us make a lot more sense of what John Kerry is really up to and why, and how, as we spoke about, he might just be the good cop to Trump's bad cop.
Trendstorm.
So folks, if we think back on what both Niall and Puya shared this today, we can see that John Kerry is certainly up to something. I mean, that much is unquestionable. But the question is exactly what and how successful will he be? As our guest discussed, it does seem like he's behaving as the good cop to Trump's bad cop. And as Niall drew attention to, this is indicative of the deep state divide inside the United States. We're just seeing this play out on a foreign policy level. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonikanews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.